So tonight, if you'd get your Bibles and open to Joshua chapter 5. You know, I had three or four different names for this message. And none of them fit until the last one. And so I think this one would be fitting. I'm going to call it, for those of you who take notes, Characteristics of a Hero. I first had called it, I Need a Hero, and then We Need a Hero. Then I said, well, I'm only going over the characteristics. I know we do need a hero, but let's just talk about characteristics. So if you're there in Joshua chapter 5, would you go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And we're going to start there in verse 13. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So a little bit on the background of this passage. The Israelites had just crossed over the Jordan River, and they were with their new leader, Joshua. You see, Moses, because he disobeyed the Lord, was not able to go into the promised land. God said, you disobeyed me, you showed a bad picture of my coming Messiah, and so I'm not going to allow you to go into the promised land. And so, as Moses went up to Mount Nebo, the Lord buried him somewhere there, and Joshua was now to lead the children of Israel. So we see that as they came over the Jordan River, that God once again performed a mighty miracle. As the ark went into the Jordan River, the waters parted. And they were able to walk through without the river bothering them. Then God told Joshua, after they had crossed, gather 12 stones and set them up for a memorial. So they can have future generations, people walking by say, hey, where are those stones? And their fathers could say, well, this is when God allowed us to go into the promised land. And God fulfilled his promise to us there. So then, as they're in the land, they observe the first Passover in the promised land. And now, they're camped outside of Jericho, and Joshua's looking over the city. Maybe planning the battle, or maybe he's praying. I'm not sure what exactly he's doing, but it said he's out looking over Jericho. And then Joshua noticed there was a man standing over there with his sword drawn. Now, with your sword drawn, that means you're ready for battle, right? That's what I was thinking. See a guy with his sword drawn, I'm like, man, I don't have a weapon. All right, I'm just going to go over here. No, but Joshua, he was brave. He went up to the man and said, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? You see, Joshua wasn't scared to walk up right to the man. The man answered, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. So as captain of the host of the Lord, I believe that this is a pre-incarnate of Jesus Christ. I believe that this is Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form coming to Joshua saying, I'm part of the captain's host. I think this because of later when he says, this place is holy ground, take off your shoes. I know that in the burning bush, it was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Moses. Because anytime we see God manifesting in physical form on the earth, we can, maybe not always, but most of the time we can think it's the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form. So as soon as Joshua knew who this was, he's like, oh, this is the Lord. And he fell straight on his face and he worshipped. He also submitted to himself by saying, what saith my Lord to his servant? Or he's saying, what would you have me to do, Lord? What is it that you need me to do? And so the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, and place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So now, I personally would consider Joshua a great hero of the faith. I mean, look, he took this band of Israelites on a roller coaster. They were complaining, oh, we're in Egypt, we're being treated badly, we're slaves. So God delivers them. And then they're out in the wilderness. Is God just going to let us die out here and not feed us and not give us water? We should go back to Egypt. At least we had food there. Yeah, but you also had slavery. And then, you know, God gave them manna. God gave them water. And then they're complaining again. Well, we have this manna, but we don't have meat. Man, what do you guys want? So I think Joshua was brave just taking on this Israel roller coaster and leading them into the promised land. And he also had to lead them while they conquered the promised land. And then he had the really hard job of separating the promised land all to the tribes. So what Joshua did was he did his best to keep the people's eyes on God. He kept their eyes on God because who was going to give them the victory? Was it going to be them? Of course not. It was going to be God. So he tried his best to keep his eyes and the eyes of the people on God. Now, did Joshua stumble? Of course he did. He's human. He's imperfect. There's that whole thing after the victory of the Battle of Jericho and going to Ai. And, oh man, God really humbled us there, guys. I should go talk to God. Maybe I should have talked to God before this battle. And then God would have let him know, hey, you have somebody in the camp who is sinning and you need to kill him. And then I'll give you the victory. But we see that Joshua, when he fell, he got back on the same page with God. And God was able to give them victory again. So our society and our culture looks at heroes in a different light, though. You know, these things, these comic book heroes, these Marvel, DC, these superheroes, everyone is looking up to them. These movies, these Marvel movies have outgrossed all time, and they just started happening 10, 15 years ago, they've outgrossed Star Wars. Star Wars is like fourth on that list. And Marvel's number one. And all those other movies are old. So they've outgrossed even the old movies that were popular back in the day. And these kids wear their likenesses on their shirt. They want to be them. They're so cool. But the problem with them is they're sinners. You have a guy who's an alcoholic. You have a guy who's got anger issues. You have a guy who's rich and will just throw his money at anything. These heroes aren't heroes. They're just sinners. That's what they are. And they're made to have these powers. In many of the young adults and even the young people and even adults today, there's an obsession portraying these people as heroes. But it's not only pretend fictional characters that's the problem. You have people idolizing actors, musicians, influencers. You can go on and on. People are idolizing these sinners. They're idolizing this lifestyle of sin. I heard of a rapper at a concert said to all the people, says, I'm going to hell and I'm taking all you with me. And those thousands of people cheered and they were going crazy for it. I'm going to hell. I'm taking you with me. What is wrong with these people? So by way of introduction tonight, I'd like to look at three characteristics of a hero and compare the world's heroes. And I'd like to take a look at Joshua. And then I'd like to look at the ultimate hero, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to start with an account of a man who showed some very heroic characteristics in World War II. On October 8th of 1918, Sergeant Alvin C. York single-handedly captured 132 German soldiers, which earned him the Congressional Medal of Honor. Definitely, he was a hero to be honored. In this battle, he displayed courage and selflessness that is required of heroes. But it was not the way that Sergeant York handled himself in the battle that made people think he was a hero. Instead, the way that he lived his life, both before and after the battle, showed the people that he was a hero. And in one of his diary entries, we see where Sergeant York got his bravery from. In his diary entry, he says, I carried a testament with me. I have the testament I carried with me during all my fighting at home and now. I read it through 5 times during my stay in the Army. I read it everywhere. I read it in the dugouts, in the foxholes, and on the front line. It was my rock to cling to, and my diary I didn't do any cursing. No, not even on the front line. I cut all of that out long ago at the time that I was saved. So this testament he talked about he had was a Bible. He had a Bible in the war. And he said it was his rock. It was something he clung to. Something he held on to because this word contains hope. It contains power. This word is powerful. So he held on to this even throughout the whole war, and he held on to his salvation. Now, something to be said for people thinking of heroes back then were people who worshiped God, and people today who worship God will be considered the lowest of the low to people, to the world, unfortunately. But people back and then, when you worship God and you love God, that was something to be looked at. You see, Sergeant York could be a brave and heroic. He could be brave and heroic because he had his Bible with him. He read as much as he could. He lived by God's words. So the three characteristics of a hero we'll look at tonight is humbleness to God, submissiveness to God, and obedience to God. Sergeant York lived his life humble and submissive and in obedience to the Lord. A hero is someone who does much more than some one amazing thing. A hero is someone who reflects heroism in their life. A hero is someone who does heroic things because that's just their nature. That's their character. And their character demands that they be a hero. So first, a hero is someone who is humble. Let's start with the world's heroes, these actors, musicians, influencers. These figures in our world, I believe, need not to just have a piece of humble pie, but maybe they need the whole pie. They are arrogant. They think they can do everything for themselves, but they've gotten to where they are today because of them. They are so arrogant and they're so self-centered and prideful. They always have their name in the lights and on TV, and our society and culture demands that as well. When you go to these movies and you pay for you're paying them to have pride in their heart. You're paying for their self-centeredness. When you go and watch these TV shows, you're helping them with that to themselves. Also, these superheroes that people idolize have the same problem. Most of them can't help but get their superhero self in the news and TV. Most of them are very prideful and could use a good dose of humble pie as well. You know, these guys, oh, well, I did this because I'm going to be in the paper. Everyone says Spider-Man is a humble character, but he takes pictures of himself and sells them to the paper. I don't think that's very humble. So now let's look at Joshua. We saw in our scripture passage tonight that when Joshua found out who he was talking to, he fell to his face and he worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua, ooh, Lord, thank you so much for coming and helping me. Lord, I'm sorry that I thought you were just a band. Lord, I love you. He humbled himself before God. Joshua also had the very hard job of not taking the praise for all the wins of the battles. I'm sure people came up to Joshua after they won a battle. Yeah, Joshua, yes, you did it. Joshua had to be, no, guys, I didn't do anything. God did it. He knew that they would have not won a single battle had it not been for God. Just look at Ai. He didn't consult God and they lost. I mean, you can just tie it up right there. God won every single battle for the children of Israel. He'll also win every single battle for us. And now let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ never had a prideful moment. Never. He's God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, he was humble. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself so he can come to this earth and show us how to live. He had glory up there. He lived in perfect heaven. He was at the right hand of the Father. But he put all that aside so he can come be a man. Now he still had all that in him. He's still God. But he came and he looked like a man. He acted like a man. He lived like a man. He humbled himself. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." He gave up what he had so that we could have it. The best thing we can do is humble ourselves to him and thank you for that. That's the very least we can do. In John 5:19, the Bible says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Jesus was humble to God. He showed humbleness to the Father. He told his apostles this. He told the disciples he taught this. He told the Pharisees this. He says, the way you should live your life is in humbleness to God. So not only the world, but also you and I would do well to follow Joshua's example and fall on our face and worship our Savior each and every day. Even all throughout the day. Like I said, it's the very least that we can do. We need to give up all thought of glory for ourselves and realize that everything we do, everything we have, everything we accomplish is because of God. He puts us in the situations for us to win. He gives us the skills that we need to do the things that we do. Everything is from God. In 1 Peter 5:6, the Bible says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Ladies and gentlemen, if we're saved, we're going to get glory. Now, it may not be here. We get a glorified body when we go to heaven. God may give us some glory here. It's his choice. But don't expect it. Our glory is in heaven when we get to go have a glorified body and worship our Lord and Savior for all of eternity. That's where our glory is. But if God decides to glory you here on earth, be humble. Give it back to God. The Bible says there's a time that God will exalt us, but it's in his time and not ours. So salvation requires us to be humble as well. First, we have to realize that our very nature is sinful. For us to be saved, we have to realize that. We have to humble ourselves and say, "I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's the first step. Next, we have to realize that God is just, and he has no choice but to judge sin. God is love, yes, but God is also judgment. God has to punish sin. And so if we sin, we have to be punished for it. That's just how God works. He loves us, but he also has to punish us. Then we humble ourselves and say, "God, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I can't. God, I can't ever pay for the things I've done wrong to you. I can't even pay for the whitest lie I've ever told. I need you, God. Please help me." When we humble ourselves and ask God for his help to save us. So you see, salvation is impossible without humbling ourselves to God. The next characteristic of a hero I'd like to look at is a hero is submissive. We're going to go back to these actors and musicians, influencers, etc. again. And we see that they are mostly submissive to false religion or submissive to only themselves. A lot of these actors are into a religion called Scientology. I don't know exactly all that entails that, but I know that it's wicked and I know that it's evil and I know that it's not God. But some of them even worship themselves. They get so put on a pedestal that they think they're everything and people should worship them. And it's just, it's wicked. So they're not submissive to anything. And they're especially not submissive to God. They're only submissive to what, I guess they're submissive to money. That makes sense. They're submissive to money. They want that next big million, $2 million, $3 million paycheck for just 5 minutes of work. They're submissive to their money. The same goes for these superheroes that many people idolize. They're all on their own agenda most of the times. And although most of these heroes seem to be good guys, they nearly never check with authorities before they just go all vigilante and do the job themselves. They don't check with the police. Hey, we can catch this criminal together. No, I'm just going to do it myself. I've got these powers. Why do I need to submit to anybody else? I can do it. These heroes are showing people that they can do everything themselves. That hey, if you follow me, you can become cool like me, and you can not do it. You can do everything by yourself too. You don't need God. You don't need somebody over you to tell you what to do. You can do it yourself. So let's look at Joshua. Back to our scripture passage, when we see that Joshua realized who he was speaking to, he humbled himself and said, "What saith my Lord to his servant?" He was basically saying, "What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm ready to listen, and I'm going to do it." Joshua knew that he would have to submit fully to God and follow God humbly. Without submission to God, he might have gotten ideas to do things his own way. But when we submit ourselves to God and say, "God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it." That cuts us out, because it's now God's leading and not our leading. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son had to be submissive from the very beginning to what God the Father's plan was. Even before God created the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ knew he would have to humble himself, be submissive to God, and pay a sacrifice. They're all knowing. They're outside of time. They see the end from the beginning. Jesus Christ knew from the very beginning, "I'm going to have to go, and I'm going to have to suffer for these people. But you know, I'm going to do it because I love them. And that's because it was what the Father wants." In Matthew 26:39, the Bible says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus in his humanity is going to the garden and saying, "Father, in this human flesh, I really don't want to do this. I know what it's going to take. And Father, I don't know if I can handle this human flesh can handle it. But if it's your will, Father, if you tell me it's your will, I'm still going to do it." He was submissive to God. And later on, a few verses later, it says, "He went again the second time and prayed, saying, 'Oh my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Thy will be done.'" In John 6:38, the Bible says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus came to do the Father's will. He didn't come to do what man thought was right. He didn't come to do what man thought God thought was right. He came to do what God said was right. And so we also see in Luke 2, verse 51, the Bible says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Jesus Christ even showed subjection to his earthly parents. He showed us all how to act. When Jesus was a child, he obeyed his mom and dad. That's what we should all do. Even me as an adult, I should honor my mom and dad. I should honor them. Now, I don't have to take every piece of advice they say to me, but I should still listen to them. And kids, you should respect your parents, because that's what Jesus Christ showed us how to do. He was subject unto his parents. So we see that Joshua submitted to the Lord, and we see that Jesus submits to God the Father. So that means that we're to submit to God too. Submit to God in everything. That means everything. That means everything. That means it all. All of it. Submission is letting the will of someone else lead your will. So you cast what you want aside and you take on what God wants. You know, I had to do that. I had to humble myself to God. I had to submit to God. I said, God, if this is really your calling, you've had this on my heart. God, this is the plans I have for my life. And God said, no, they're not. That's what you think your plans are. This is my plans. And we're going to do it my way. And I had to humble myself and I had to submit myself to God and said, okay, God, let's do it. We are to submit to the leadership of the Lord, putting Him first and putting His desires before our desires. Later on, we'll talk about what His desires are and how we fulfill those desires. That means before everything we do, we need to consult God by reading our Bible and prayer. Kids, I tell you this every week, don't I? Read your Bible and pray, right? Before every big decision in our life, we need to consult God's Word. If there's anything about the decision in our life, in His Word. And we need to pray. We don't need to only pray once. Guess what? Keep praying. In fact, guess what? If you don't hear an answer from God, keep praying. If you don't hear an answer from God, keep praying. If you don't hear an answer from God, quit praying. No, keep praying. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. God hears you. God loves you. And God wants to hear your prayers. And God will answer your prayers in His time. But you have to wait for Him. You have to be patient. All these characteristics are hard to follow. But this one's a little harder for me as someone who started living for God as an adult. As adults, we have ideas of what we think is best. And sometimes it is best concerning God. But I still think that God wants us to consult Him first. Now, we may make great decisions, great Christian decisions, but it is really my thought that God still wants us to go to Him. We should still always go to God first. Submit to Him. Final characteristic tonight is a hero is obedient. The world's heroes, these actors, musicians, influencers, are not only not being obedient to God, but they're not even being obedient to the laws of our land. They get a pass. They do something bad, and they just show some money, and they don't have to go to jail. Or they go to court, and they only have to pay a little bit of money, and they're scot-free. And no one ever holds it against them again. In fact, because of their fame, they get around a lot. Because of their fame, I should say. Now, these superheroes, the people that idolize, often break the laws to do justice. Can somebody please tell me how that makes sense? How is breaking the law justice? Does that make any sense to anybody? Doesn't make any sense to me. So let's turn around and let's look at Joshua now. Once again, we go back to our scripture passage. We see that the Lord Jesus told Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy." And after hearing the Lord say this to him, Joshua did so. He obeyed the Lord. God said, "Take off your shoes because this is holy ground." And Joshua didn't say, "Well, why? Why? I like my shoes." Or, "God, this doesn't make sense." No, he just did it. He obeyed God. We also see that throughout the rest of the time of leading Israel, Joshua had to obey God's commands exactly, or they wouldn't have won the battle. If he did one thing out of line from what God said, they wouldn't have won the battle. Because God wants it done His way. God likes things decently and in order. And if Joshua would have slipped, they would have lost. We also see there are some instances where Joshua or the people of Israel did not follow God exactly, and He didn't give them the victory, like Ai. God expects our obedience, and not just obedience here and there, but total and entire obedience in everything. That's what God expects from us. God expects us to obey His word. He expects us to obey His leading in our life. That's what God wants. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we go to Philippians 2:8. And the Bible says, "And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Our Lord and Savior was obedient to God the Father, even to the cross. Now, crucifixion was the most brutal and painful way to die in those days. Jesus knew this. And he was obedient to go to that cross, to pay our sin debt, so that we might be free. John 4:34, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." John 5:30, the Bible says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." John 6:38, "For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And John 15:10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is the very best example of obedience. His whole time on earth, he was obedient to the Father and even to his earthly parents. God sent him for a reason, and he was obedient to that reason. Now, obedience is simply doing what you were told. But I'll add a little caveat here. We should be obedient to those who have the correct authority in our lives. Notice I said the correct authority. That means God is the very highest authority. If it doesn't pass God's test of obedience, then we shouldn't obey it. If it doesn't pass what God says, we should not obey it. That means, kids, if your parents tell you to sin, you cannot obey that. It's okay. Okay? But I know all your parents, and they wouldn't tell you to sin. So, you still have to obey. But just not when they tell you to sin, okay? Next is our parents. Unless they're leading us to go away from God, then we obey. The next one is our government. This one's hard. I really don't want to be obedient to our government right now. But once again, if our government is doing the things the way they should be done, and it's okay with God, we should obey them. They have authority over us. They have correct authority over us. Then we have bosses. We have people over us who have authority. But just remember, the ultimate authority is God. So how can we be obedient to God? Well, read the Bible. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to read the Bible. God wants us to study the Bible. It's how we learn. It's how he learned what he wants us to do. It's how we learn of him. It's how we learn his characteristics. We can pray. God wants us to pray to him. In fact, God loves it when we pray to him. He cherishes our prayers. He wants to hear from us. That's called walking with God. Bible and prayer. And we can obey the words in God's word. God's will for all of his creation is to give him glory. That's why God created the trees, the animals, the water, the earth, the planets, the stars. He created them to give him glory. So people can look at it and say, wow, these things are amazing. Then he made man so we can tell people, hey, God made those. We can also give God glory by pointing them to Jesus Christ. God wants glory, and we should give God glory. We can glorify God by obeying him and showing others about him. In 1 Samuel 15:22 through 23, the Bible says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being the king, or from being king. Now, this may have been addressed to Saul, King Saul. But God expects our obedience to him to be the priority in our lives as well. Now to King Saul, God told Saul before the battle through the prophet Samuel, I want you to destroy everything, kill everybody, kill all the animals, just completely destroy it, okay? That's what I want you to do. Saul said, okay, we'll do that. But then the battle got on and Saul saved the king and he saved some animals. And then Samuel comes and says, Saul, what are you doing? Saul says, we won the battle, Samuel, isn't this great? Saul, what are you doing? We won the battle, Samuel, isn't that great? I hear these animals. You saved the animals, Saul. Yeah, but Samuel, they're for sacrificing to God. Yeah. We're going to sacrifice them to God, Samuel. That's what God wants, right? He wants us to sacrifice. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrificing as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, God does want us to sacrifice. In this day and time, he wants us to sacrifice the things he gives us, the money we make, the time we have. God wants us to sacrifice these things. But obedience to God is far better than sacrifice. Far better. We need to obey God in everything. If we could somehow convince the people in our world that obedience to God should be the number one thing, then I believe our world would be a better place. If we could get back to a nation that loves God and that serves God and has God as our foundation, I believe our country could get to a better place. But it takes going. We have to do it. That's what God wants us to do. So these worldly people and worldly fictional characters that many people idolize in these times do not show much of any of these three characteristics. In fact, some of them are very public in their words. I spoke about this earlier, the rapper who said, I'm going to hell, I'm going to take you with me. Our world needs the gospel more than ever in these last times. But they're not going to just get the gospel out of thin air. God gave us a great commission to fulfill. God wants us to give the gospel to those who desperately need it. By giving out the gospel so that the Holy Spirit can do His job is one way that we can glorify God. Remember, it's not our job to save people. It's not. It's our job to give them the gospel. To give them a track. To tell them your testimony. To tell them about Jesus Christ. That's where our job ends. Because now it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them and to bring them under conviction of sin to salvation. Now we may help lead somebody there, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit that does that work. There are many people out there today that believe it's the other way around, that we save people. But we don't. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. I couldn't save anybody. I might be able to save you from drowning, maybe. I'm okay, swimmer. But no, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the hearts and the Holy Spirit that converts. We can't even convert people. I can sit up here and preach till the dogs come home about something, but I will not convert any of you. I will not convert things in you. That's God's job and that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's my job to give you the things that the Holy Spirit once said and then He can do His work. So, as we have looked at these characteristics of a hero tonight, which of these areas are you not so strong as you would like to be in? Here in a few minutes during the invitation time, either at your seat or down here at the old-fashioned altar. You can pray and ask God to help you in these areas. The most important part of asking for help in these areas, though, is humbling yourself so that God can examine you and make known what needs to be worked on. Another important part is to submit to what God thinks is best, not what we think is best. And lastly, when God shows you an area in your life that needs work, get into your Bible and obey what God has to say in these areas. Pray. Go to your pastor. Go to Brother Combs. He would love to talk with you about things that in your life and give you a biblical answer to it. We have men in this church that are biblically sound, that know a lot. Go to them. If you ever need help with the Bible, we have lots of people in our church that will be able to help you. We can all be heroes for God in our own way. If we develop these three characteristics, I believe we can all improve for God in the way He wants us to. So, as our theme for this year is press toward the mark, let us press towards becoming more like Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Let us press toward giving out the gospel more. Let us press toward giving God glory in everything that we say and that we do. Because that's God's will. Everything that we say and do is for God. And it should glorify Him.